So I think we're on Zain Ahmed Alif. We're up to the two dots. We started a couple of weeks ago talking about this payment back via land, and specifically the big focus has been on this idea of Meitav, on the best land, or in the, that's the Torah's terminology, Meitav Ha'aretz. In the Gemara's terminology, we've been referring to it as Idis, right? Ayin Yud Dalet Yud Tav. And but basically the idea is the same, that you're paying back from the best land. Now we've sort of been dancing around what if you're not paying back with land, and I'm not convinced we'll get there today, but it does we'll see if we make it. But the Gemara does begin to sort of talk about other elements as well, but we basically spent the last couple of weeks figuring out this machlokes, this debate between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, if I remember correctly. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, yes. About whether when we're talking about Meitav, we're talking about the best land of the Nizak or the best land of the Mazik, i.e. the person who caused the damage or the person who had the damage done to them. And in doing so, we also came across a sort of a slightly different debate between Rabbi Akiva and everybody else, also about an animal that did damage or gored an animal that belonged to Hekdesh, that belonged to the temple, whether you have to pay back, how much you have to pay back. For some, it was for the majority opinion was that it was that you are exempt, whereas they said no, you have to pay back actually you have to pay back basically as a muat. So they were even stricter, and that's really, I think, as I said, where we left off. So we're now about 15 lines from the end of Zayin Ahmed Aleph, and we're coming back to a slightly different debate on this topic between Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava. So this is now a level down. This is now what we call Amoraim, sages of the Talmud, whereas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael talking about sages of the Mishnah. So slightly earlier time period. Romine Abaye la Rava. Everyone with me? First word on the line is Romi. Romi basically is... Rami is linked to the word the Raminhu, which means a contradiction, an apparent contradiction. And I don't know why, I just realized this recently. But in my mind, when we see a phrase like this in the Gemara, so as a child, when I used to play with Lego, and now I do it with my son, but he doesn't let me do this as much. But when I used to play with the Lego as a kid, I used to sort of build two things often and throw them at each other, and just sort of see what happens, you know, sort of see which ones survive. So I sort of feel like the Gemara does this as well with verses. So when it says Rami Nei, it's often doing that. It's just sort of throwing two things together and see what comes out. So that's the image that I conjure in my mind. Rami Nei Abaye la Rava. This is the contradiction that they're going to present. Siv, in one place it says, Meitav Sadehu Umeitav Karmo Yishali, right? So we have this verse, which we've been looking at before, just from this past week's parasha. This is chapter 22, verse 4 in Mishpatim, Parashas Mishpatim, which says, again, you pay back from the best land, from the best field, from the best vineyard. Meitav in, the implication of this is that you have to pay from the best, midiachorina, lo, but you cannot pay back from something else. Vaha tanya, and yet we have a brisa, we have a piece of rabbinic literature, from this Tanaitic period, right, which seems to state the opposite, seems to state differently. Yashiv, they're using a different verse. Yashiv, again, a different verse from slightly earlier, actually, that when you pay back, Yashiv li be'olav, when you are making reparations to the owners, to the people who you caused damage, what does that word Yashiv come to include? It's sort of adding something when it says you should pay back. Yashiv l'rabo shove kesef. It's coming to include, to add on the fact that you can pay back with shove kesef, with something that is worth money. Shove kesef is a category in halacha of basically not land, but not money either. So it's sometimes referred to as metaltalim. It means something that is worth money. It means something that is basically the value, the cash value of something that you're paying back in an object or objects. Va'afilu subin. So what are subin? Does Rashi translate it here? So subin, we say, oh, I lost my Oh yes, sorry. Okay, so subin are basically the sort of leftovers from the wheat, the chaff, wheat chaff. So so even something as bad as that, okay, it's still got worth. It's still worth a certain amount. So if you want to pay back with that, then that seems to be enough. So that seems to be the implication of this brisa, right? Which goes against everything we've been saying until this point. We've just said you have to pay back from the best land. And he was saying you can pay back no, just any old you know rubbish as long as it adds up to the amount that is required, then that should be enough. So the Gemara responds, lo kasha. No, that's no real contradiction. Kan midaito, kan bal korcho. So he says, so one is basically where everybody agrees, and the other one is where they don't, right? So it's where it's being enforced by the court. So where it's being enforced by the court, then, excuse me, my bad. One is where he admitted to doing the fault, right? Where you are choosing to come and pay back. No one's actually come to you and say, no one's made a claim and said you've done something wrong. You're simply coming and saying, I have damaged you and I'm going to come and pay you back. So then that's midaita. That's where you've chosen to come and so you come forward voluntarily, honestly, and said, I'm going to pay back. Then seemingly you can pay back from everything. But we're talking about now when it's already gone to court, when we're talking about the... Well, we're talking about the sort of the payment being implemented and being ordered. So when we're talking about payment being ordered, then it has to be made of, then it has to be from the very best, i.e. from the best land and potentially from something else as well, which I think we'll see. I don't think we'll see this time, but it will come up over the next sort of parts of the Gemara.
But Rabbi, presumably yes. it only had to go to court because the damager thought that he wasn't liable. So even though the court found against him, surely then it should be sufficient to pay the damages to cover the damage done rather than forcing from the best land, let's say.
The question is how you have to pay back. So you have to pay back with, maybe I misunderstood the question. What is the...
Let me rephrase it. What I'm saying is, we've got two things here. On the first hand, we're saying you can pay back in any kind you wish if you accept that you caused the damage. In the event that you don't accept that and it goes to court and the court finds against the damager, right, the damages that must be paid must be from the damager's best land. And I'm saying quite clearly, if it had gone to court, the damager saying he was not liable, so why should he be liable to pay from his best land rather than from any other form to settle the damages which the court says he's liable for?
So I don't. It's not only from the best land. We'll come back to include other things. I believe like money and things like that. But it cannot be from anything because, because that's what the Torah is describing. The Torah is laying out that if you settle this, as it were, or if you sort of voluntarily come forward, then the expectation of how you have to pay back is going to be lower as a result of voluntarily doing that without having to go to court. The fact that you've now been through court means that there's going to be a higher level of expectation as to the way in which that payment has to be done, so either from the best land or from something else which is considered to be equivalent to the best land, which we'll have to figure out. But it can't just be from any old stuff that you have.
My point is, why should anyone voluntarily say, I am the damager, if he doesn't believe that to be the case? Which is why it's gone to court, because clearly there's a dispute as to liability.
But if they've been discovered to yes, be liable, so they were incorrect in their assessment of themselves, that they were not liable, right? The question is, innocence is the wrong word, but the point is they are liable for the damage. So the fact that it wasn't done voluntarily is different to the fact that it's now gone to court.
I mean, there's a differentiation, say, where somebody is wasting the court's time and putting the defendant to additional pain by declaring he's innocent, knowing he's not. But surely in a case like this, this is simply someone saying, no, I don't think I did this. You know, you've got to prove that I'm responsible. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the end of the day, you know, if it's doing something voluntary is all very nice and good if it's stand dunk. But if it's not, then quite clearly it's maybe got to be adjudicated.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, maybe. I mean, it's again, that would be an interesting distinction to draw. I think that would be a very difficult one to do, because you're saying that you're only talking about a case where they intentionally do it, where they're deliberately wasting the court's time. The Gemara is drawing a different distinction. The Gemara is saying if you sort of own up and say this is what happens, then you get to pay back slightly differently. But if not, again, it's not a punishment. You're still paying back the same amount, but the requirements are going to be different. We've now gone through the more legal process, we're going through the more formal system, and you're going to be expected to pay back in a different way than you would have done otherwise. I'm still not 100% sure I hear the difference, but let's see if the Gemara clears it up as we go forward. So that's basically the distinction that we've drawn: Midato versus Baal Korcho. Whether you've said that you've done the damage and you're choosing to pay back without going through this legal process, or we're doing it, Baal Korcho being with the enforcement of the law, of the court of law. Omar Ula. So Ula says as follows. Omar Ula Bereid Rabbi Loi. Dai Konami, he suggests, actually this fits very well. Why? Dichsiv Yeshalem Baal Korcho. But actually, if you look inside the verse sounds that way anyway, because it says Yeshalem, right? Yeshalem makes it sound like he should pay back. It's almost like it's being forced to do that. So Omar Le Abaye responds, and that's not very good. The grammar's slightly off here. He says, Nikasiv Yeshulam, it doesn't say he should be made to pay. It says Yeshalem, he will pay, or he should pay. Siv, right? Yeshalem, Siv, Midato. Midato Mashma, he should pay, he will pay. He makes it sound like that could be as much his choice as being forced. He says that's no good. So actually, based on this, the Gemara throws the whole thing out, right? Not just the diuk, right? Not just the sort of the textual nuance, but actually the entire idea. Ela Omer Abaye, rather Abaye reinterprets the entire contradiction or apparent contradiction, and he says Kidamar, that actually the difference between these two verses is as follows. The Tanya, based on the following principle. Hare Shehoyulo Batim Sodos Okromi. Person has fields and vineyards and properties and all sorts of things. Ve'ino motse lemochron ma'achilin oso maseron. So actually, I think you're correct me, but I think this is called asset rich and cash poor or something along those lines. Like the person can actually have a lot of property and a lot of things, but they're unable to sell it. Right, and actually, they don't have anything to feed themselves. They don't have anything that they can sustain themselves with, and I'm not sure if it's exactly that legal category. I don't know enough about that, but it's along those lines. So, ve'ena motzel amochron ma'achilino. So the Gemara says you can feed this person. This person is entitled to ma'aser onik, this type of ma'aser, this tenth that is given away to the poor. He can be fed from that. He can sustain himself from that. Why? Because he's unable to feed himself, even though technically his net worth, if you were to sort of look in the, I don't know, in the Forbes list, right, his net worth may be quite a significant amount, but because he's unable to buy anything, actually to sell anything, to have any money to buy anything, so this person is considered to be poor, and therefore you would be able to feed them from Maaser Ani. And Abaye says this actually is the distinction that these two psukim are sort of hinging on. How so? I've skipped a line. Right, Maserani ad mechatza v'havi b'omar. So he says actually that you can't just feed this person the full amount in a sense on their based on them being poor. But what you can do is as follows, that you basically, that the assumption here seems to be that you can sell these properties if you're happy to lower the price on the properties, right? So you're always able to sort of sell them off at a certain point. This is obviously not the place where the person is living, but an additional place which they have. They're not happy to sell them because they feel that they're being undervalued. So they say that it's worth, they say that this property is worth $1 million, and no one is willing to pay anything more than whatever it is, $600,000 for it. I'd say $500,000 actually, just to keep it simple. So people are only willing to spend $500,000 on this. This person's totally convinced that it's really worth $1 million, and actually, you know, it might well be worth a significant amount, but in the current market, it's difficult to sell it for that amount, and they're only able to sell it at a lower amount. So they don't want to do that. But as a result of that, they have nothing left, right? They have no money. So what does the Gemara suggest? That what you can do is you can feed them up until half the amount. So in a sense, you sort of sell the property for the lower amount, and then you can provide, you can sustain them with the rest of the amount from charity funds, as it were. Maybe $1 million is probably too much, but we're talking about the amount that the Gemara works in, or the Rishonim, is what they refer to as 200 zuz. Okay, so that's the amount. It's basically 200 of whatever the currency was, and they think that the property is worth that amount. They say the property is worth 200. In fact, it can only practically at this moment be sold for 100. What you do is you sell the property for 100, and then you can feed them up to another 100 from this charity amount, from this Ma'aser Oni, and in that sense you give them ad mechatzah, until half the value of their property, to make up the difference. Rabbi Bomar, right, and as a result of this, Rabbi Bomar is the next part. Rabbi Bomar is that Rabba, who is Rabbo? Okay. Let's draw a line there. So you can feed this person. So basically, Abai has brought this second bride. So Abai has brought this principle that if a person seems to have properties, can't get rid of these properties, we can feed them up until half the value of their properties from charity funds, and then sell off their properties in the sense to sort of for the other half, as it were, and in that sense it makes up the whole, and everything works out well. How does this solve our problem with these two verses that we were looking at earlier? So the heavy bomb, hey, if you don't, I think this is now the response. How exactly does this help us with our previous conundrum? E huzal arasa dekulei alma. If we're talking about a case where everybody's land has gone down in price, the entire market, as it were, has gone down in price, then v'didei namizal, and his has also gone down. His has also gone down. Afilo tuva nami lisfile. So then the problem is not that you should be limited to half, but actually you should be able to give them even more. Why? Because then, again, in a sense, according to everyone's book, this person would be considered poor because the market's gone down. So what they're worth is in a sense dropped very significantly. But rather, we must be talking about a slightly different case. Dehozol dekulei alma nami, because everybody's properties has gone down, the entire market's gone down, everybody seems to have less than they did. Ela deokir arasa dekulei alma. Rather, everybody else's is still worth this higher amount. Everybody else's properties seem to be worth a significant amount. V'didei ID the Ail Venofik Azuse Zol Are. His, for whatever reason, only his properties seem to be struggling, seem to be not really selling for their true value. And therefore, as a result of that, he is actually ending up in a situation where he has less to manage with, and therefore we end up in this sort of mid this halfway house where we say half the value of the property we're going to feed him, and half the property is going to be sold. So we're still trying to I think we're still trying to connect this back to our previous sort of section where we had this distinction between whether you're forced to pay back from Meitav or whether you can pay back from anyone. So the Gemara continues, again, based on this price, the Gemara is now sort of continuing within this subsection, within the subsection brought by Abai. We're now turning over the page to Zion on the base. Afinu Purta. So the Gemara wants to, again, now we're talking about where only his property is worth less. And then the Gemara says, Afilu Purta Nami Lo Lisvile. Why should we be feeding him at all? Why should we be giving him but Afilu Purta Nami Lo Lisvile. If his is going down, they should be giving him. So Rashi says that his property is worth less. And in that case, really, the property should be worth the full amount. Right, okay, sorry. If the property should be worth the full amount, he's just struggling. It sounds like he's just struggling to sell it off. So then why are we giving him this these charity funds at all? In reality, this property should be worth more. And therefore, he should be considered to be someone who is able to afford to feed himself. And therefore, we're not paying, or we're not going to give him. So again, maybe I'm getting confused because it's a confusing case. So the Gemara itself seems to be saying that this doesn't really work, right? We've come up with a situation where he should be getting half, but actually either it's worth that amount or it's not worth that amount. If it's worth that amount, then he should be able to feed himself. If it's not worth that amount, then everyone's in the same boat. So rather... I'm only going to let the interruption if it's going to help me understand this particular section, because I'm going to lose the thread.
I think this is where the market knows that the damager is a forced seller. So the value of his property has actually gone down.
We're not talking about a damager here. We're talking about the value. We're talking about a totally different case. We're talking about just a regular case. Person has properties. Right. The properties seem to have gone down in value. We're trying to figure out if everyone's has gone down in value or is it just his? So, again, we're just talking about this is what we're within this subsection. So now it's a different price. We're introducing a slightly different or totally different case in order to sort of help us and to then plug that back in. So within this new scenario, just again, not a damager. No one's done any damage. Just this person owns properties, but yet seems to not have enough for themselves. So what are we referring to? V'omar alo lo tzricha. This is what we were referring to. D'biyomi nisan yakra arasa. V'biyomi tishrei zol arasa. So we're talking about a thing where it sort of seems to go in waves, where at certain times of the year, it's worth much more, and at other times of the year, it's worth much less. So the way that the Gemara sets it up is, in the times of Nisan, the springtime, it's worth a lot. In the wintertime, times of Tishrei, or the autumn time, I should say, that is Zol Arasa, it goes down in value. Dekule Alma, Notri Ad Nisan, Umazavni, right? That... Everybody else, basically, everybody who wants to sell their properties would usually wait until Nisan, right? But this person, however, it's the richa lezuze because he needs the money at the moment. Zabin kidahashta is going to have to sell them. Is going to have to sell it at this lower price, right? This cheaper price, and ad palga urche. So kidahashta, right? And since we're talking about the fact that he's going to have to sell it at this lower price, right? And since he's forced into this because of a lack of funds, because it's basic sustenance, right? We're talking about not just business is not so good, but we're talking about a person's basic sustenance. So as a result of that, they're sort of losing out on a significant amount of money and will need to have a bit more. So the Gemara basically comes up with this this halfway house where half of what they need will be funded from the properties being sold at the lower rate, and half of it will be filled in by charity funds. Ad palka urche nemezel. So we say the normal thing is that the Gemara is making an estimation that it's not going to drop less than half the amount. Right? That even in these sort of markets which go up and down, it's not going to drop less than half. And therefore, tfei lav urche nemezel, unusual for it to go even further than that. And therefore, that's where it comes up with this sort of halfway ad mechatzah that the charity funds would supplement up until half. As I said, none of this is to do with damages until this point. All of that was really just trying to understand. You'll forgive me for convoluting if I got slightly confused, but all of that was really just to understand that scenario, that line of the braisa, that you could have this individual who has batim, sodos, and peronim, who has these properties, who has this land and vineyards and has all these fields, but will still be funded from charity funds up to a certain amount. And we said it's in this sort of fluctuating market. So what does any of that have to... Now let's try and plug it back in. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to try and plug it, I believe, back into to our contradictory verses, which is as follows. Basically, I think just to take the principle of Nisan and Tishrei, the principle of this fluctuating market. I believe, famous last words, Nami Gabe Nizokin, that we're going to say the same thing with regards to damages, that Dine Ber Idis, right? You have to pay back with the Idis, with this best type of land. And he says to him, if the person who caused the damage says, Havli Bainonis Tefei, sorry, the damagee says, Havli Bainonis Tfei Purta, I want not your best land, but I want the midland, but I want you to pay slightly more of that, right? So again, to make up the amount. So I'm happy to take the land that's not quite as good, but I want you to pay back more of that land to fill up the amount. Omale, he can then respond, this mazik can then respond, the person who caused the damage can then respond, Ishokalt, if you want to take it, Kedincho, then take it, you know, in the sense as you want, right? If that's what you want, then that's fine. Sorry, kedin choshiko. Ishokalt kedin cho. If you want to take based on what you, in a sense, are owed by right, by the letter of the law, shikol kidahashta. You have to take it based on the prices of today. Ve'ilo, if not shokil kiyukra, then you actually have to pay. If not, then you can take it from the more expensive price. So the way I understand this is as follows. And after this, then hopefully we'll pause for questions. But the way I've understood this is as follows. Basically, that really you, as we said, you should be paid back from the best land. But the fact that you should be paid back from the best land, you can actually say, I'd like to be paid back from a slightly different land. But what the mazik responds is as follows, and according to Abaye, legitimately responds. This is what the contradiction in the verses is saying, is that if you want to be paid back differently to how you should be paid back, right? If you want to be paid back, then actually I'm going to use a slightly different price. That this bainonis, this in between land, which is what you want, we're going to sort of take the the price of that based on the highest possible, right? The highest possible. Now, it doesn't mean the highest possible in the sense of, you know, the highest possible that it's ever been, the peak that it's ever been. But if it sort of, as we say, goes in seasons, right, seems to go in seasons, that for half a year it seems to be worth more and the other half of the year seems to be worth less, that actually if you are asking to be paid back differently, then we'll base the pricing based on the more expensive half of the year, based on the Nisan part of the year where it seems to be worth more. And you, in a sense, lose your lose your benefit, I guess, of getting the best land. You want to be able to choose the land. If you're going to be choosing the land, then you're going to have to take it from a slightly different pricing. And I believe that what he's saying is that this principle is based on that verse Yoshiv, right? Yoshiv l'rabo subin, right? So we said that Yoshiv made it sound like can be paid back from anything. So that's not just any time you can be paid back from anything, right? As the distinction that we drew earlier was you could be paid back from anything if you are voluntarily paying back as opposed to being forced to by the courts. Now the distinction we're drawing is you can be paid back from anything if you are asking to be paid back from a different, not by anything, but Yashiv is basically saying that if you are asking to be paid back with different land, then actually the mazik will do it from a more expensive price. Whereas the standard would be Yeshalem, you should pay back Mimeitav Haaretz from the best type of land. I apologize, I don't think that was as clear as hopefully we usually try and do, but maybe let's stop for questions and hopefully that will help us to clarify what exactly we've done until now.
Rabbi, me again, sorry.
Good.
I'm looking at this and I'm understanding clearly the aspect of seasonality. Obviously near a harvest, if it's a good harvest, the land is worth more value, etc., etc. But there does seem to be an element here that the damages land is devalued because the rest of the market is aware that he's effectively a forced seller. So I think there's an element there as well.
I don't think that's true, though. Where do we see that in this?
Well, where we're talking about Eladorah, it says, rather, it must be that everyone else's land appreciated. And with regard to his land, people see that it goes.
But that wasn't, again, that wasn't the case of damages. That wasn't the case of damages. That's going back to this other brisa, which is nothing, which is not about damages. That's talking about this scenario where, for whatever reason, the person, as you say, is being forced. Well, it sounds like they're being forced into sell because they don't have enough to live on, right? That's not a case of damages. That's a different sort of case.
But isn't that what we're learning here?
No, the only comparison that we were trying to make between those two is this idea of seasonality, of the price being worth a certain thing in Nisan and being a different price in Tishrei. And what the damager is able to say is that if you're trying to take from the Beinonis, if you want to be taking from this from a different type of land, you're choosing your land, then the price at which we're going to the value that we're sort of going to be following is going to be the higher value, regardless of what time of year we're in at the moment. So we're going to base that on the sort of higher value rather than the lower one.
So those maybe missed my misunderstanding then. So basically we're saying we're drawing a line under the case where market forces and market knowledge is dictating the wealth of the individual to now saying what is the value of the land in any particular part of the season. So you're saying effectively that was one portion, stop there, now we're talking about seasonality. Because otherwise I think there is an overlap.
I missed the beginning of what you said, sorry.
I was saying, then, so clearly maybe it's my misunderstanding, we should be saying that the previous discussion, the previous concern I had, that is the end of the discussion.
Okay? About voluntary
about the market forces, about market awareness of the man's a forced seller. And now we're going on to something else and saying, this is now totally different, Bryce, it's about seasonality, and this is something different we're learning.
The only part that we're drawing from that original case, correct, is this idea of the land being worth more at a certain time of year as opposed to a different time of year, yes.
Okay, all right.
So we'll try and clarify it one more time. So the Gemara had these two verses, right? In one case, it made it sound like you're paying back Mimeita for Oretz, and a different verse was interpreted by a Braisa to mean that you can pay back even more expansively than just from Mimeita for Oretz. It said Yashiv, you can return even from Subin, even from the wheat chaff, I think, you know, sort of any stuff. And the first resolution to those to those sort of two interpretations was to say that one is talking about a case where you're paying back voluntarily and one is where the court's forced you to. And Abaya's response, this suggestion of the Gemara is no. One is referring to a case where you are happy to take the best land, in which case Yeshalim Yemita V'Oretz, then you pay back from the best land. But Yashiv is talking about where you are choosing, where the damagee, the person who's been damaged, is choosing to be paid back from a different part of this person's land. And if that's the case, then Yashiv, the Rabbi Subin, is saying that actually then the person who's caused the damage actually can say that the value of this land, we're going to base the value on assuming it's a type of land that goes up and down based on seasons, that we're going to do this based on the high season, based on what it's worth at the best time of the year. Right? Okay. Yes, that, I think that's really the only thing. So we have this debate whether it's as to what the resolution is between these two different parts. Okay, fine. So that's where we've got to until this point. So now, Maskif la Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov has a question on all this. Imke horata kochon shel nizakin eitzel beinan isviziboris. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense, right? Because what you've done is you basically said that the damagees, right, the people who've had damage caused to them, they should have the upper hand in a sense, right? So they have the upper hand if they're taking from the best land. But if they're taking from less land, from worse land, then it's got worse for them, right? Then you're basically saying, Harata Kochon, you've taken away their power because now they should, in a sense, be able to, the choice land should mean that they should be able to get from the best or from what they choose. But now if they're getting from what they choose, then you're actually saying that the price is going to be different, that the value is going to be different, in which case they're going to lose out. They're not going to get what they want. So based on this, we're actually ending up in a situation where Meitav Ha'aretz is not really working, right? And that's what he says. So Harata Kochon Shon Nizokan Eitel Bin in his Viziboros, Derachmona Omar Mimetav, the Imamat Mibainon is Viziboros, Nami, right? That should be, in a sense, in it all the more so. If I'm able to take from the best stuff, then I should be able to take from number two and number three and number four, you know, from stuff that's not quite as good as well. And yet this scenario that Abaya has drawn up means that if I'm taking from two or three or four, that I'm going to end up losing out as a result of that. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is not happy with it. Okay, does everybody follow that question? I think that hopefully is one of the simpler parts, at least from my perspective. But so Ela Omer Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he's going to have a different approach altogether. Iikol damuye, right? If we want to connect these two at all, right? To compare the two, lebal chov medaminon le. Then you can actually borrow, as it were, from a bal chov, from someone who is paying back not because of damage but because they borrowed money. Bal chov dinei bebeinonis ve'i omar le havli Ziboris Tfei Purta. If you want to, if this person who has borrowed money now wants to pay back, who has lent money and now wants to get that money back, and they say, actually, I could claim from your level two, but I'm going to claim from your level three, from the Ziboris, from the worst one, but I want a little bit more. Omar Le, in that case, Ishokalt Kedinoch Shekol Kedahashta, right? As we said before, if you're going to take from the Beinonis, from this mid-level, then you can do it. You can do that, you know, as expected. V'i lo, but if not, shokil ki yukra dil kamei. Again, a similar thing, that actually you're talking about the higher seasonal value. If you're going to take from the worst type of land, you should be valuing it based on its most expensive season, the maximum that it can be during the year. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov has basically said that in the world of Nezikin, this doesn't work, but in the world of Baal Chov, in the world of money lending, which is slightly different, that it would work, right? This principle would work, that actually the world of money lending, the similar thing would work. Now, it's interesting that actually he's not really addressing at all the contradiction that we had before, because Baal Chov is nothing to do with those verses. When we're talking about Yishalim paying back Memeitav Haaretz, that's talking about damaging. We're not talking about paying back loans or anything like that. So Maskev Lo Rav Acha Bereider of Iki. So he has a different question, or a similar question really, on Rav Acha bar Yaakov, which is actually touches on a very important principle that we find throughout Shas in all sorts of different places. So the first one we just came across earlier was Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, Horata Kochon Shal Nizokin, that there's a principle that you seem to have to sort of, there's a certain strength to the damaged party here. But that was Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now we have Rav Acha Bereider of Ika, similar names, not quite the same, different people. So Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, he has a slightly different one. Imkain na'alta deles bifnei lovin, that you have the literal translation is you sort of lock the door, you've shut the door in the face of, in front of those who are trying to borrow money. And this is a very core principle in the Torah, that the ability to borrow money is very, very important, because it allows people, it's in a sense the best type of charity. And in many ways we look at this as the best type of charity, but it's something which allows people to get back on their feet, which allows people to sustain themselves, but in a way which also hopefully keeps their dignity in the best way as well. And so therefore it's very, very important principle that we want to encourage lending money, and therefore again we go out of our way sometimes to really try and do that. That's a separate, you know, for another time we'll talk about. That's why there were certain systems that were put in place around the Shemitah year, where again loans are cancelled, and actually there was sort of rabbinic institutions to try and ensure that loans would continue to happen even though Shemitah year is coming up. But as I said, there is this critical idea that na'alta denes bifnei lovin, we cannot have a situation where we're sort of trying to prevent people from lending money, where they're going to end up not lending as a result of this. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov's principle seems to do that. So it flies in the face of that. That's no good. Rav Acha bar Yaakov was basically saying that if you borrow money, you can then when the person comes to claim back their money, if they want to choose from a different field, then they're going to end up having to lose out. So the Gemara's response to that is, no, that doesn't work, because na'alta delis bifnei lovin, you're shutting out a lender. You're going to lower the ability of people to lend money. And let's just finish this off and then we'll stop for questions. To omale ilu havule zuze have a shokli kidahashto. He says, if I had enough money, then it would be worth what it's worth now. Then I would pay you back what it's worth now. Vahashto de zuze gabach, now because you have my money, right? Eshkol kiyukro del kame, right? Why should I be paying back? I'll end up having to pay back, as it were, from the highest possible price. And therefore, that's no good. I'm ending up losing out as a result of lending money, and therefore I'm going to be averse to lending money, I'm going to avoid lending money, and that's not something which it's not a situation which the Torah wants to encourage. Okay, any questions?
Sorry, the lender doesn't want to encourage, it's the lender who's being disadvantaged, not the borrower.
Right, so when the lenders are disadvantaged, then they are less likely to lend money, and if they are less likely to lend money, then that's going to
You were saying the other way around. You were saying the borrower.
Excuse me. You're quite right. I didn't mean to say the borrower's disadvantaged. The lender is losing the money.
Yeah,
but the point is that because the lender is losing out, people are going to be less likely to lend money.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, the sort of the system, as it were, will
absolutely right.
will cause a drop in people who are happy to lend as a result of this. That's what the Gemara is trying to avoid.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. So Ela Omar of Achobarei Doraviki. So rather he has again a different take on this entire thing. As follows, Iika Ledamuye. Right, if we're going to compare, if we're going to try and draw on this this brisa from earlier of the higher of the sort of seasonal values and the difference between these seasonal values, then he says we're not talking about damaging, we're not talking about money lending, we're talking about leksubas isha midaminan, right? We're talking about the value of a kesuba, right? So now kesuba is what is the basic value of what a husband, the most sort of limited value of what a husband has to pay in a case of divorce, right? In the case of divorce, you basically have to pay the rights of what a woman has to claim, as it were, from the marriage from a financial perspective. The ha kesubas isha, right? Because this amount or this sort of this contract. Dina beziburus, right? That actually it's taken from the ziburus, from any type of land. The e omra le ihi, right? If she wants to say havli beinanis bot zirpurta, she wants to say actually I don't want the lowest type of land. I want slightly more land, but sorry, not slightly more land. I want slightly less land, but a higher quality, right? Slightly less land, but a higher quality. Omar lo, then now this is what that, now this is where it kicks in. Omar lo. Then again, the response can be ishokalt kedinoch shko, right? If you want to take it, then that's fine. Right? Sorry, ishokalt kedinoch shko. If you want to take what is required by law, i.e., the sort of the lower level, then that's what you can take. Shko kedahashto, take based on the value of today. Ve'ilo, if you want to take from a better value, shokle. Then in that case, it's going to have to be based on the sort of highest seasonal value, and in that case, again, in a sense, nobody's losing out but there, in a sense, you're coming with a more difficult claim, right? A lower claim, and as a result of that, yes, it's true that the value is going to be less. But if you want to be taken from the better land, then that's fine. You're just going to have to be taking it based on its sort of higher seasonal value. And that says Rav Achobarei Doraviki. Sorry, excuse me. That says Rav. Oh, it is Rav Achobarei Doraviki, right? That says Rav Achobarei Doraviki is the comparison that we're making. Okay. So there's this whole. All of that was really a big, big tangent, if I'm being honest. Yes. Let me just finish this. All of that was really just a big, big tangent because we had this. Principle of rabba, I believe, that that you have this sort of type of land which can go up and down in value at different seasons, and you sort of it's worth different amounts at different times. We had three different comparisons. One tried to suggest that we can apply the similar thing to damages. One suggested that we can apply a similar thing to borrowing, to the laws of borrowing, and the final opinion was that we can apply a similar sort of principle to this divorce and the amount that is sort of that is being taken in that particular case. Yes, Phil.
Well, it seems to me that one possible difficulty with all of this is that. Unless you're talking about inferior quality land, which is so inferior that its value does not fluctuate from season to season, you can apply the same fluctuating value argument whether you're looking at best quality land or inferior quality land or intermediate quality land, because you know if you're valuing it at a time after the harvest has been in Nisan. You know, and it is land that is agricultural land and capable of being sown, then it's going to have a different value after it's been sown to when after it's been harvested. So why can't you, you know, it isn't simply the fluctuation in value isn't limited to land that is of a inferior, intermediate or intermediate quality. It applies to any land. So then the question is, why don't you value when you are substituting a different type of land, not of the best quality, at what time and what seasonality will you value that land? I don't quite follow why, you know, where we're drawing distinctions between these different sorts of land and alternatives. There seems to be an implication that actually there can't be any fluctuation in the value of the inferior quality land.
I don't think there's that assumption at all. I think in all it sounds to me like there can be fluctuation in all of them. But the point is, we're coming now to make the claim at a time where it's at its lower.
Yes. And then the question is, how do you value it? Do you value it at that time, or do you value it in accordance with its potential value?
Right. So what each of these stages are saying is basically, if you are taking what you are the level that you're entitled to by the letter of the law, then you can take it at today's value, right? But if not, then you will end up having to take it at a higher value, which means you'll get less land as a result.
But what it doesn't explain why there should be that distinction as a matter of policy, because you're only entitled. Why would you have a different basis of valuation depending on the type of land that you are offering?
Because doesn't that really come in with your idea of harvesting or not harvesting? Because at different times of the year. Because there's, before you're harvesting, the land's worth more money than after you've harvested.
No, I think Phil's saying why are we valuing it at that time? That's the question. Why is it valued at a different time?
When I come to collect my entitlement, and instead of getting the dinars, I'm getting land in place of the value of the judgment that I've got. No matter what the quality of the land, the question really to my mind is, well, what's the policy reason for allowing a spot market price in certain circumstances and a non-spot market price, a sort of future yield potential price, in other circumstances? That's not explained at all.
But I think the point is that it's in a sense, it's so again, leaving aside the earlier cases, because they are more questionable. That's why the Gemara comes with questions on them. But let's say, to come back to the final one, where in a sense the entitlement is for the worst type of land. So you're in a sense presenting both options. You're saying you can take this land, this lower level land, but if you want to take a higher level land, then you can do so, but it's not going to have the same value in a sense. So otherwise there's no difference. Otherwise you're saying that you can take from any land. The point is, in this case, you can't take from any land. You do have to take from the lower level land, but in a sense you are able to take from the higher level land if you're going to sort of take it at a worse price than you would be expected to otherwise. The reason why there's a difference is because you shouldn't be doing that. No, unless I'm...
But as the matter of policy, yeah, as a matter of policy, your basic rule is to take from the best quality land, yeah.
But you're not allowed to. But legally, your entitlement is in this particular case to the lower level land.
Oh, so in a case where you're entitled,
that's what we're referring to, correct?
In the debt, you know, when you're collecting, okay.
In the case where your entitlement is for lower level land, if you want to take higher level land, sorry, you sound to me like you're expressing the question
why shouldn't I, even if I'm taking the lower quality land, yeah, why as a matter of policy is the value of that land? So you're saying
no, the lower level land is valued as today's price. The lower level land is valued at today's price. If you're then saying, can I please have a slightly better quality land, so what the Gemara is saying is, yes, you can request that, but the person who is, you know, who is fulfilling that pledge, whatever it may be, you know, whether it's the borrower or this case of the ksuba, right, the husband, then they are entitled to say, yes, if you're choosing to take a higher quality land, a better quality land, then you have to do it at a worse price, as it were, right? You have to take a worse seasonal price. What sounds to me like you are expressing Rav Acha bar Yaakov's question, which is, if we're talking about a case of, let's take it back to the case of Nezikin and of damages, where you can, in a sense, take from the best land, why should you not be able to take from level two and level three without having, without losing out, right? Without having to take this, which is exactly his question. I think that's a very good question.
I think that is my question.
Yeah, so I think that's a very good question. That's the question that Gemara is bothered by that, and that's why we sort of moved on to the slightly different ones. Here, we're talking, we end up at this point where actually you're getting the, where your entitlement is to the lowest level, and then if you want to be taking from a higher level, then not only do you obviously take less area-wise because it's worth less, but actually the price itself, the value, is from the higher end of the season or the highest season possible, and therefore you it's a deterrent, I suppose, it's
construing the contract so as it's written. You're entitled to this lower quality, okay, and I can't argue against that because it's there, it's written in the ketubah,
right.
If you want to change that, then I've got the leeway to insist on the value at which the better quality land is
exactly
taken for the purpose of this kind of, I'm with you. Okay.
There you go. Perfectly put. Thank you, Phil. Okay. So that's, I think that's a good place to pause for there. I don't think we were, forgive me, I don't think it was quite as clear as we usually try and do, but really all of that, as I said, is really all in a sense as a sort of a tangent off this original. We're going to come back next week to this contradiction between, in some way, there seems to be a different verse which seems to say you can pay even from lower level or from something else, right, other than Meitav. We've been saying until this point, no, you can only pay from the best land, only the best land, only the best land, and yet we seem to have this Braisa which brings a verse that you can actually pay back from anything at all. So we've got to try and figure that out. Okay.
Okay.
That's where
thank you.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.